You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Ever since the days of FDR's New Deal, social services for Americans in need have been out there. They've been available. But what about before then? For some, it meant going to what were known as poor farms or poor houses, and that got a state librarian to do some deep digging. Adam Oster is the community engagement librarian for the Library of Michigan. Adam, this all kind of sounds like something right out of a Dickens novel. How did this come to the attention of the Library of Michigan?
Well, part of it came out of just out of my own self-interest. I started researching poor farms back in about 2012 for a class that I was taking and found it to be something that was just a very unique but yet incredibly interesting topic that's really relevant to Michigan.
And we can really safely say at one point just about every Michigan county had a poor farm or a poor house. What was a poor farm and when did they start appearing in Michigan?
Well, they first started appearing roughly in the 1830s. So prior to us becoming statehood, the state of Michigan was developing different laws for in order to be able to help people during the territorial times that we were starting to get people coming into the state. And so they found as more people come in, we need to develop laws in order to help the chronically ill. And so in 1830, there was an act to authorize the establishment of poorhouses. So the first one to come into existence was Wayne County in 1832, just outside of Detroit. Soon after that, more started popping up. The only one that you could say that really didn't have one was Keweenaw. Hmm. They rented a building for a while, but outside of that, it was pretty much every single county had their own version of a poorhouse or a poor farm.
And who went there and why?
Well, typically it was people that were poor or paupers, as they called them at the time. You also had the chronically ill, whether it was people that were physically ill, that had been injured to a point where they could not survive on their own, or mentally ill. The establishment of poor houses predates any of the state hospitals, asylums, and so it ended up being sort of a catch-all for many people that were mentally ill. People who were old at reaching old age, because the retirement homes and other sorts of facilities that we come across today didn't exist at that time. So it ended up being a catch-all for quite a few people.
Great big safety net. But who would send them there, and did they have to go?
Well, it would typically be identified by either the superintendents of the poor. Each county had three superintendents who were assigned to facilitate the poor department and help identify if people needed any sort of indoor or outdoor relief. Outdoor relief is where they would provide food, coal, money, different things like that. But indoor relief is where they said, okay, you can't really survive on your own. It's time to go to someplace like the poorhouse. You would also find township supervisors, other local officials, the local sheriff would say, hey, we've got somebody here who needs some assistance. We better get them to the poorhouse because they're not going to survive out on their own as they are right now.
When we say assistance, it sounds optional, but were people free to come and go, or did they know they pretty much were expected to stay on the poor farm or at the poorhouse?
People could come and go. It was certainly encouraged to stay there. One of the more interesting things is that you would find more people there during the winter as opposed to during the summer, because in the winter it's cold out. Who wants to be outside? In the summer, people could kind of a little bit survive more on their own in the warmer weather. One of the more interesting instances that I found is Kent County's poor farm would have a lot of older men who would leave to go down to the golf course just down the street in order to find golf balls, sell them, and earn money in order to get things, and would somehow have to work their way back to the poorhouse down the street at night because they ended up staying out too long. Hmm. And they would have to stop at people's houses and say, how do I get back to the county poorhouse? How do I get back to the county infirmary? And the locals would have to direct them to get back to where the poor farm was at, where they were staying.
What was daily life like for someone who lived at a poor farm? What were some of the most interesting stories that jumped out at you?
Well, the idea is that anybody who was there who was able-bodied was required to somehow contribute to the functions of the farm. And that could be helping out with the growing of vegetables, tending the animals, washing clothes, any sort of cleaning in the building. If you were physically able to help out, that was an expectation that you participate. You would get 3 square meals a day and a place to sleep. The buildings were typically separated with men on one side and women on the other. If you get a chance to go down to Van Buren County, the poor farm building is still there, and you can find that the building itself is separated, you know, where it's a mirror image. If you walk on one side, you're going to find the exact same rooms on the other side. sometimes they would have doctors come out to help check on people, but they were often the lowest bidder, so you weren't really getting the most quality of care. There's a great resource that you could find where there were annual reports that the state of Michigan would produce, and when they were describing the Kent County Poor Farm in 1872, it said, facilities for bathing none other than wash tubs, and they were well used. Warming of buildings by common stoves. Food consists of wheat and cornbread, salt and fresh pork, salt and fresh beef, salt fish, potatoes, onions, beans, and other vegetables. And a few years later, I found a newspaper article that just kind of gave a brief description of the farm where it said, the present charge is number 39, includes every class of unfortunate humanity, worn out old men and women, paralytics, epileptics, lunatics, and idiots.
Wow.
The policy is to obtain labor from everyone capable of work, and such to do work to give them good food and plenty of it. And they even describe a couple of the people there specifically by name. One of them, they said, Sarah Cowell is a foolish woman employed about the kitchen. A sister Phoebe cared for in the fool house is a total idiot reduced to the simple animal instincts. Four from this family have been inmates here at one time. So they get pretty descriptive sometimes when you're looking into information.
I have to just note how different phrasing and points of view were then back in the 1870s than they would be in 2019. That kind of stuff wouldn't fly today.
Lunatics and yes, idiots, things like that. And they were using those as descriptive terms rather than as more
pejorative,
insults as we do today.
Absolutely. When did the last poorhouses and poor farms close? How long do we have them?
Well, Ottawa County existed in some form or another until 2001. In some ways, they kind of do exist. There are county medical care facilities that exist today, but they are not in the form as what they were in the past. Now, they're more as nursing homes, more chronically ill facilities. Just down the road here in Ingham County, there's the Ingham County Medical Care Facility in Okemos. Thornapple Manor in Hastings is the same thing. So we've replaced them with other facilities, but for the most part, once the New Deal programs in the 1930s came into effect, it started causing them to go away. And now many of the buildings have been demolished. Jackson County and Muskegon County, the buildings are gone. Other places, they've turned into parks. Ottawa County and Leelanau County, the barns are still there, but they now have them as parks. I was just out in Washtenaw County in Ann Arbor and visiting County Farm Park, which is on the property of the old poor farm out there. Otherwise, many are in private hands. The buildings are being used for other purposes. Some as adult foster care homes, apartments, some are just empty and not really being used for much of anything else other than just stagnantly being there.
Can the Library of Michigan help someone research an ancestor who perhaps lived on a Michigan poor farm or at a poorhouse?
Oh, most definitely. One of the first places that you want to look into is the census, whether it's the federal or state census. They even had a special one in 1880 that was for the defective, dependent, and delinquent classes, which included people in poor houses. Other records would include the annual reports of the county superintendents of the poor. Definitely the newspapers. The newspapers have a wealth of information, whether it's on narratives about life at the poor farm or individual inmates. It even gets down to some of them, like the Sheboygan Democrat would include the names of the inmates and the number of days that they were listed there. Their vital records. We even have cemetery surveys and other transcriptions of poor farm cemeteries where you can get, if somebody died and was buried there, you can find information about when that happened and roughly where they are in the cemetery.
Well, certainly a slice of a Dickens novel, Victorian England, come to life in Michigan with the poor farms and the poor houses throughout the state of Michigan. Adam Oster, Community Engagement Librarian for the Library of Michigan. Thanks so much, Adam.
Thank you.